I'm going to say one more prayer for us and just ask God to speak to us and minister to us at this time as we go to his word. So let's pray. Father, just thanks so much for this moment right now. And just thanks for how you're going to speak to us. And we just give you this time, Jesus. We say this is your time. And we just pray in Jesus' name. Anything that would distract us or disrupt us from hearing you, we pray that you would just focus us upon Jesus. So we give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to say Happy New Year to you guys. I really wanted to be here last week because it was the first Sunday of the year and just to hear God's vision together. I was in San Diego at a wedding. I was really glad to be there too, but I really missed being here on the first Sunday of the year. And so this morning I wanted to share kind of the New Year's message and just share with you what God has been speaking to me about this year, 2016, for our church. I was just kind of listening for God at the end of 2015 and just praying, and I felt like God gave me a sentence. I felt like that God said that to focus, not focus our attention this year on behavior change, but to focus our attention on relationship change with Jesus. Not on behavior change, but on relationship change with Jesus. And what I felt like he meant by that was that we could end up focusing all of our attention, you know, changing our behaviors. We need to do our quiet times more. We need to give more. We need to serve more. We need to pray more. And certainly we need to have some focus on that at certain times in the right ways at the right times. But I felt like that God said that this year we need to focus on our relationship with Jesus, developing our relationship with Jesus. And as we develop our relationship with Jesus, the outflow of that is going to be the behavior change that we are looking for and wanting for and praying for. And so with that, I'm going to start a new series this morning in the book of 1 John. And you can turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1:1-4. That's where we're going to be this morning. The title of the series is Going Deeper with Jesus. The title of the message today is also Going Deeper with Jesus. And I would say that the theme of 1 John is about going deeper with Jesus, having a connection with Jesus, having a relationship with Jesus. And so the question that today's passage answers, and the question that we're answering this morning, is how do we have a deeper relationship with Jesus? I wanted to start off and help us get thinking along the lines of the passage by showing you a real brief commercial clip that I would say immediately came to my mind when I began meditating on this passage a couple of weeks ago. So how many of you guys have heard of the air freshener Febreze? There's this commercial that, honestly, I didn't even know that I remembered it, but it immediately came to mind over and over again when I started meditating on this passage. Just a 30-second commercial. So I wanted to show it, and then I'll come back up and I'll just connect it in with today's passage, okay? So here's a commercial about Febreze.
A Febreze experiment. What happens when real people test new and improved Febreze fabric refresher? Relax, breathe in. What do you smell?
Fresh air.
A fresh, clean smell.
It smells like flowers.
Like it's just been cleaned.
All right, lift your blindfold.
Ooh, what a place.
New and improved Febreze fabric refresher eliminates up to twice as many odors so you can breathe happy no matter what.
It is someone's underwear.
So I wanted to say, when it came to Febreze and for these participants, they weren't able to truly capture reality just from their one sense of smell. But once they were given the use of another sense, the sense of sight, they were able to more fully capture the reality of their surroundings. Apostle John, when he wrote 1 John, really had a similar message to the church. The situation was that in the first century church, at the time that John wrote this letter, he was writing to people that were being fooled by a false gospel. There was a teaching called Gnosticism that was very prominent at that time, and it was going around, and people were being drawn into Gnosticism, which was that salvation came by some certain knowledge that they could have. It wasn't about Jesus. It wasn't about repenting of our sins to Jesus or of accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. It was about some other special knowledge was a way to salvation. And so people started getting fooled by it, including some Christians. And Apostle John was writing this letter to the early church, that this letter began to be circulated around. and Apostle John, if I could put it this way, was saying to them, listen, you can't just use your sense of smell. Because if you just use your sense of smell, you might be attracted to this false gospel. But you need to engage Jesus at a multi-sensory level and begin to engage Jesus. And if you would let me put it this way, take your blindfolds off so that you can fully see Jesus. Use your other senses and begin to truly capture the reality of Jesus so that you don't get fooled into the false gospel and so that you can fully enjoy Jesus and fully enjoy the kingdom of God. So when we read 1 John 1:1-4, look for this multi-sensory experience that John had, and certainly that God calls us to have, wants us to have in the kingdom of God. All right, so the question we're answering this morning is, how do we have a deeper relationship with Jesus? 1 John 1:1-4, and if we could pay special attention to the multi-sensory experience that John had, that certainly John wanted the early church, God wants us to have. Let's read it out loud together. 1 John 1:1-4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. So we're talking about a relationship with Jesus. And so look at verse 3 to see what John begins to call our relationship with Jesus. It says, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to circle the word fellowship. That's the word that John, Apostle John, used to describe his relationship with Jesus, the relationship that he was calling the early church to, that we are called to. Now, I want to say this. Probably the word fellowship doesn't fully carry the weight that Apostle John was trying to convey to us, because in our English usage of the word fellowship is not as strong as what John was trying to say. We use the word fellowship to talk about college fellowships, grad school fellowships, professional fellowships that are temporary, that are short-term at the best. But what John was trying to convey was something much further and beyond that. Another English translation, or some English translations, would use the word communion. Maybe the word communion would better convey and carry the weight of what John was trying to convey to the early church. It was a sense of closeness. It was a sense of personal. It was a sense of permanence. It was a sense of something that was the most intimate. There is a parallel in Scripture that you might be aware of, that in the earthly dimension anyway, that the closest relationship that we have to what our relationship is to Jesus is the marriage relationship, is a spouse-to-spouse relationship that is, in God's view, permanent, close, intimate, the closest of all. That's the most important person to us. So let me put it like this for point number one, and use the idea of that closeness, that not it's fellowship, it's communion, it's the closeness of marriage. Let me put it like this. How do we have a deeper relationship with Jesus? Point number one, be assured that he engages us as the most important. Let me insert a little illustration here. About a couple weeks ago, I got on the phone with customer service regarding my car, and I got put on hold for 45 minutes. That's a long time, I would say, but I found out that, this is pretty standard. I actually just read an article, I think a couple days ago, and Time Magazine was saying that the average American is put on hold by customer service an average of 13 hours per year. And so it's just something that we expect, right? We're going to be put on hold for a long time with customer service. From time to time, we expect that. That's standard. But that wouldn't be the way that it works in our marriages, right? Now, I understand that sometimes we need to wait for our spouse. Sometimes. I understand that. But when it comes to phone calls, we wouldn't expect that our spouse is going to put us on hold for 45 minutes while they talk to other people. Right? Maybe the opposite would be true, that they put other people on hold while they take our call, that we are the most important. But my question this morning for us is, do we have that assurance when we begin to engage Jesus? Having the assurance that Jesus certainly engages us as the most important, certainly would take our call, certainly put our call on priority. Pastor Jordan Tseng was here last April, and he was speaking to us, and I just really appreciated the way that he taught us how to pray for healing, which I think is part of the reason why we have been experiencing more healings in our church in this last year. Was that he taught us to pray, like, if someone's shoulder is injured, shoulder be healed in Jesus' name. It's a simple, assertive, assured prayer. If there's someone that has a backache, it's back, be healed in Jesus' name. Assertive, confident, assured that Jesus engages. I want to say that the wording of our prayers does not necessarily matter to God, right? If we change the wording of our prayers and become eloquent, actually the Bible has a lot to say about that, that doesn't change anything about how God would engage us. But the wording of the prayers matters for us. It matters that when we engage Jesus, that there's a certain assurance that we have, a certain even assertiveness or confidence that we have, that Jesus certainly engages our prayers. That when we go to Jesus in our quiet times, that there will be a certain assertiveness, confidence, assurance, that certainly Jesus would engage us. And certainly this wouldn't apply to our prayers, to our quiet times, to our everyday life as we are engaging Jesus. And I wanted to say for this year, or for our church, that I felt like that was a word for us this year. That it certainly would begin to change things when we come to God in our prayers, in our quiet times, in our daily walk with Jesus, that we know that he certainly engages us as we are the most important to him. And then you might wonder, well, how is the way that Jesus would engage us? If we have the assurance that he engages us, is he going to bring a sign out of heaven? Is it going to be an audible voice? How is it that that Jesus would engage us? And for this, I wanted to go to verses 1 through 3, because John begins to tell us how Jesus engaged him. So I want to point out in verses 1 through 3 how exactly Jesus engaged Apostle John. First of all, John said that he heard. He heard Jesus. Secondly, he said about Jesus that he had seen Jesus with his eyes. Apostle John obviously was one of the disciples. And see, Apostle John also said that he had looked at Jesus. He goes further and he says that his hands have touched. He continues on and says that he had seen it, says that he has seen and he has heard. There's three senses that are listed there that Apostle John said. He said that he, with his sense of hearing, it was a sense of sight, it was even with his sense of touch. This was something that was tangible. It was a tangible manifestation of God's kingdom. And certainly, the word of life, the word became flesh in Jesus. But that was John's experience. And John was calling other people, verse 3, into fellowship. He was telling those early church, the people that were being fooled and caught up in the Gnosticism and the false gospel, he was saying, I want to let you know about my fellowship. My fellowship was like this, and I'm calling you into the same fellowship. This same communion, this same intimate, close, personal, permanent relationship with Jesus. John was calling the early church into that as well. Certainly, that's the word for us also this morning and for this year and through the book of 1 John. So let me put it like this for point number two. How do we have a deeper relationship with Jesus? Point number two, be aware that Jesus engages us at a multi-sensory level. It's with a sense of sight, it's with a sense of hearing, it's even with a sense of a tangible manifestation of God's kingdom. Would it come from a form of healing? Would it come from a form of someone, a literal person coming and ministering to us in various different forms? But this type of, point number one, this assured expectation that Jesus engages us and that he engages us at a multi-sensory level, sight, hearing, tangible manifestation. Obviously, there's others as well, but John was making an illustration using these three senses. I wanted to insert first in just an illustration to say that, you know, this in any relationship, there needs to be a multi-sensory approach, right? I would just use the example of me and my kids. For me, I'm trying to develop a relationship with my kids as they're young, three and 1.5. And so it needs to be that we're hearing each other. It needs to be that we're seeing each other. And it needs to even be that we're touching each other. And I know by God's grace, there are some exceptions. But if we tuck away any of those senses, it's going to hinder the relationship. And so with Jesus, there needs to be this expectation and this engagement to him at a multi-sensory level. Let me insert an example of just a personal journey, personal for our church, but also personal for me, just as an example in for this point. Some of you know that in the last 2 weeks of the year, 2015, it was Christmas week and then also New Year's week. Our whole building, our building experienced 5 pipe leaks. And it was, I mean, for me as the pastor, it was stressful. It was overwhelming. I mean, it was literally our water regulator broke. And so the pipes and the water pressure in the building was extremely high. And it was literally just one pipe after the next pipe and then the next pipe, just bursting and water was leaking. We need to get it fixed. And obviously we need to spend a lot of money to make those repairs. And so literally I would say my sense of sight, that was what was in front of me. That was my holidays. You know, that was Christmas week and New Year's week. And so, for me personally, also for our church, it was overwhelming. I mean, with just a sense of sight. But I felt like heading into the new year, I felt like God began to speak to me. Not necessarily in an audible voice, but I felt like that the Lord was speaking to me. And he said to me, you know, with these pipe bursts, there was a lot more increased prayer activity in our church. Lots of you guys were praying. Thank you for your prayers, by the way. And I felt like the Lord was saying to me that there was a lot of increased prayer activity at the end of the year, heading all the way into the new year, and that was very significant for our church and very significant for our church in 2016. For that prayer at the end of the year, heading into the new year, and I felt like God began to speak this. But I also felt like that God began to tangibly break in a tangible manifestation to his kingdom, and this was personal for me. It was kind of overwhelming what was happening, stressful for me. This is Christmas and New Year's week, and different people, and many of you, sent me text messages and emails. Some people even gave me a card, literally a tangible manifestation, just to encourage me. And I felt like God said to me just in that process that that's something that I really needed, is just to be encouraged. So if I just use my physical eyes, literally what I was seeing Christmas week and New Year's week is pipe after pipe bursting in our building. But God, Jesus is engaging me at a multi-sensory level. Jesus was also speaking to me. Jesus was also allowing me to experience a tangible manifestation of his kingdom through brothers and sisters in Christ, encouraging me, sending me text messages, emails, a card. So I wanted to encourage us this morning, because some of us in our lives might be experiencing broken pipes. Maybe it's not broken pipes. Maybe it's broken dreams. Maybe it's a broken relationship. Maybe it's broken hopes that we have. But I want to encourage us, and I feel led to pray at the end of our service for something, and it's just real specific and a specific. Here would be the prayer. It's just, Father, in the midst of the brokenness, I ask that I would hear you. I ask that I would see you. I ask that I would even experience a tangible manifestation of your kingdom in my life. I think that's a powerful prayer, because Apostle John was setting the standard. And he was telling the early church, listen, don't just look at what's in front of you. If you just look at what's in front of you, you might get really disappointed. You might get really disillusioned, because you might just see pipe after pipe bursting in the building. But John was saying, listen, you got to see it. You got to hear it. You got to expect the tangible manifestation of God in your midst, because that's the fullness of the kingdom. That's the fullness of Jesus. That's the time, that's the place where we're going to really begin to fully enjoy Jesus, where we're going to be able to fully enjoy the inbreaking of his kingdom. So this morning, if you're here and you're experiencing broken pipes, broken dreams, broken heart, broken relationship, whatever it might be, would you pray a prayer? Father, in the midst of this brokenness, I ask that I would hear you, that I would see you, that I would experience a tangible manifestation of your kingdom. Let's engage Jesus at a multi-sensory level this morning in this year. So point two is, be aware that Jesus engages us at a multi-sensory level. You might be here, though, this morning and say, I'm not experiencing broken pipes. I'm not experiencing broken dreams. Actually, things are going well. Things are going well in 2015. Things are going well in 2016. And I just want to say to you, or say to us, that where things are going well, and say it is even more important. And John was saying, it's even more important, if things are going well for you, that you would hear Jesus and see Jesus and experience a tangible manifestation of God's kingdom. Here's why. Verses 3 and verses 4. Verse 3, the first portion, says, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. Verse 4, we write this to make our joy complete. Obviously, it's Apostle John who is writing and he is speaking. See, Apostle John's engagement with Jesus was not just, him hearing and seeing and experiencing and all of this love of God and the kingdom of God being poured into his life. But what was happening for John was that when John was engaging Jesus, all of the kingdom of God was pouring into his life in such a way that it was overflowing. And it was overflowing that he couldn't help but also share with other people and say, listen, my fellowship is with Jesus. I have seen him. I have heard him. I have touched him. And I have this fellowship, this communion, this close, permanent, personal relationship with Jesus. And I cannot help but also call other people into this fellowship. In fact, John was saying, actually, my joy is not going to be complete unless I help some other people to experience this as well. When John engaged Jesus, the kingdom of God came into him, and it just came to a point of overflow. When we engage Jesus, and I want to proclaim this over our church 2016, engage Jesus, and he will pour into your life to the point of overflow. Let that be God's way for us in 2016. Let me put it like this for point number three. How do we have a deeper relationship with Jesus? Be assured that engaging Jesus leads to overflow. Listen, that was the standard of John. That was the standard of 1 John. That was the standard the Apostle John set. But sometimes, can I say this? That we settle for less than the standard that was set forth in Scripture. That we can settle for the relationship with Jesus that's not overflowing. But the standard that John set and was speaking to the early church, the people that were being pulled away this direction and the other direction, Gnosticism, a special knowledge, he was saying, listen, I just want to tell you about my relationship with Jesus. My relationship with Jesus, I heard him, I saw him, I touched him. It was so overwhelming and it was overflowing. That's the relationship that you guys need to have. That's the relationship, that's the fellowship and the communion that I need to call you guys to. I want to tell you, that's the standard. That's what Jesus has for us. That's when we fully start enjoying Jesus or start enjoying the fullness of the kingdom of God. This might be a perfect week for us to use the illustration of overflow. We just had a downpour of rain this week, and so let me use this illustration. We're in a drought in California, I think that you know. I live in the city of Walnut, and my family lives in the city of Walnut. And so Walnut, several months ago, they sent us a notice. They told us, here's the guidelines. Using water. Here's the guidelines for water on your lawn. Water at this many minutes and this time, this many times a week, etc. So our family, we try to follow the guidelines, right? And we just set the sprinkler system, to whatever, they set forth. And it wasn't really working out for us because everything in the backyard was turning brown and was getting dried up, or if I can use this terminology, it was getting, burnt out. So that was the situation. But we abided by the guidelines, and it was possible. It was possible. We did it all this time. We were getting burnt out in the backyard, but we were doing it. We were sharing with others. We were sharing water with other people, abiding by the guidelines, sharing water, getting burnt out ourselves. But then this week, there was a downpour of rain. I just shut off the sprinkler system altogether. And it was easy for us to share with other people. When there was a downpour of rain and there was an overflow in abundance for us, it was easy to share with others. We had more than we needed. We didn't even need anymore. We wanted to share with others. We just wanted to shut it off and share it. I feel like that this is a really good word for us. We need to have an expectation, if I can use this, an assurance, or like we sang this morning, a blessed assurance, that when we engage Jesus, when we go to him in our quiet times this year, when we pray together as a church, we come to prayer meeting, we go to small group meetings, whatever the case may be, when we're engaging Jesus, we need to know that his standard and his word is that he is going to fill us to overflow. See, I think that sometimes in cultural Christianity, even in the culture of our church, sometimes we can get so settled into a life where, if I can use that illustration of being burnt out, yeah, we're going to share with others. I mean, we're getting burnt out, but we just need to. We need to persevere and press on and just keep sharing. But we're in a place where we're burnt out. There is a place for perseverance. That's even very scriptural. But I'm telling us, let's not settle for that standard. Let's not settle for that which the enemy wants us to minister out of. Let's not just have to push ourselves to have to share with joy with other people. Let's come to God with an expectation this year that we're going to engage Jesus and he's going to pour into our lives to the point of overflow. And out of the overflow, that's how we're going to minister to other people. We have a relatively small church, but we have a huge vision. I've shared this with you before. I just feel led to share it with you at this point, and also in light of this. I mean, our vision is, and I just really feel like God has just burned this into my heart, really. I believe that revival will come to Walnut and through Walnut and through this church, and it's going to go to the world. I really believe that that's going to be a work of God. It's going to be a miracle. Listen, it's not going to be of myself or any leader or anything. Listen, if I could have done anything, I would have done it already. And what I can do, and maybe I haven't maxed out at whatever the situation is right now. But in a powerful move of God, as we engage Jesus and he pours into our life in overflow the way that only he can do, that John is talking about in Scripture, that's the way that we're going to achieve a huge vision of revival, awakening in our lives and in this city, and revival in Walnut, through Walnut, to this world. So that's the reason why that we would come with expectation. I mean, aside from that Scripture says it and calls us to it, and that John set the example for us, but also that if God gave us a vision of awakening and revival that would touch the world, only way that we would be able to do it is if God came and overflowed into our lives, that we had so much to share that we just couldn't help but share it with other people. And that was the situation of John. There's two things that I felt led to close out our service with this morning. First thing is, again, people that are experiencing brokenness, broken pipes, broken dreams, broken whatever it might be. If you would pray to God this prayer in line with this Scripture, in response to this Scripture, Father, in the midst of this brokenness, I ask that I would hear you, see you, experience a tangible manifestation of your kingdom. I believe God honors that prayer. I feel like that prayer is right in line with this passage in 1 John. But secondly, I wanted to pray over our church this morning that our engagements with Jesus this year would be overflow. And I just want to break any lies of the enemy right now that would have us serving out of being burnt out, and just speak over our church that we're going to serve and we're going to minister out of the overflow of the abundance that God pours into our lives. Let's respond to God in prayer. And can I ask the worship team if you can come forward at this time, prayer team if you can come forward at this time, and prayer team also, if you have other additional things to share, feel free at this time as well. First prayer of response. Are you here this morning with some form of brokenness, but that you would pray in response to the message in 1 John? Father, in the midst of this brokenness, I ask that I would hear you, see you, experience a tangible manifestation of your kingdom. All eyes closed and heads bowed, just so this could be a private moment for people to connect and respond to God. Would you just raise your hand all the way up and then down if you're praying that prayer? Just hand all the way up and then down. Just that's you just communicating with God, and then I'm going to lead us in praying that prayer together. So, Father, we just come before you. Maybe what's in front of us, broken pipes, broken dreams, a broken heart, a broken relationship. Father, we just respond to your word this morning. Thank you for the example of John. And we ask that in the midst of any of these struggles, brokenness, that we would hear you, that we would see you, that we would experience a tangible manifestation of your kingdom. Jesus, we just declare that you never let go. You never let go. Just like the song that we're going to sing in just a moment, Jesus, you never let go. And you're just holding on to us in the midst of all things. We just declare that in Jesus' name. Can we all stand? And I just